You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and this is Features Editor John Gentile, and I am back after a week away. I was going to be on, but I'm a very important business person, and I had a very important business dinner, and some very important business matters were discussed. And so now I'm back, and it was a very important meeting, and very, very important. I'm a very important business person. Em, how are you? This is Em, co-head editor. What's going on, Em?
Hello. I would also like to go to nice dinners with my clientele. Yeah, things are going well, I think. I'm in
I
the
will
middle
say,
of working on a bunch of stuff, so I feel kind of like an octopus. Sorry?
well, what are you working on? What's the
I'm
top
working
secret?
on top secret, some very interesting interviews, which will be hitting different sites very soon.
That's cool. Anything else for Exclaim coming up?
Perhaps.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So yeah, well, that's rad. M's always like weirdly vague. I'm not sure why. You know what I
Yes.
mean? Em is just like, yes, I've got something for Exclaim coming up. I've got something for Bandcamp coming
Maybe.
up, which is a so I'm excited for that. Also, actually, a lot is happening in punk news this summer. A lot. So here's what's going on so far.
Yeah.
February 28th, Philly Record Freak out at Philomoka. May 17th, Philly Record Freak out at Neshaminy Creek Brewing. There's also probably going to be another Philomoka Freak out before them. August 1, 2026, Summer Soiree 9. Clash tribute with Kepi Ghoulie, backed by the Slackers as a three-piece, doing all Clash, co-headlining with Danbert of Chumbawamba, doing all Clash. Also, Drugeette's doing all Clash, and the Draculas doing all Clash. And also, just confirmed today, a show for May 16 in Philadelphia. I'll tell them what it's going to be afterwards, because it's 99%
Yeah.
nailed down to 100%. So I really was only planning on doing one show this year, but this one came across. I actually kind of had the idea to do this one a few years ago and even make it a summer soiree, like Summer Soiree 5. But I had a slightly different, I'm being vague, which is always very boring, but I had a slightly different idea, and that was Summer Soiree 5, which didn't materialize. But this is similar to that. And, it's kind of a now or never kind of thing. So it's going to be a really cool event leading up to Summer Soiree 9. So this is going to be, so a bunch of other punk news. May 17th, Philly Record Freakout. February 28th, Philly Record Freakout. May 16th show and August 1 show and some other stuff as well. And that's what's happening in punk news. A lot of cool stuff. And actually, the main run of today's discussion is going to be Green Day. But before we get into that, I always love the is this news type discussion. So we've got a is this news type
Oh,
discussion. So, and
sure.
I know we've gotten a couple of these emails from some it's a photographer, I believe, and
I believe so.
the photographer says that she has filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against Aim on the Sniffers, correct?
I am not sure the gender of the photographer, but that
Well,
seems to be it.
I think it's a woman. Let me look here. So let's see here. Oh, it could be a man, couldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what
You're
their
right.
pronouns are.
Well, let me look at the Instagram, and we'll see here.
Sure.
Oh, that's weird. I clicked on their Instagram and it took me to some weird ass website. This is getting weirder by the second, Em.
Like their website, like a photography website, or just like
The
buy my like a Mary Kay type thing. Like
It's a
an
she.
MLM type
It's
website
a
where it's
she.
like,
She's a she.
oh, okay,
And
cool.
so she here's some actually wow. So she's taking pictures of Paris Hilton, Drew Barrymore, Gwen Stefani, the Jenners, the Kardashians, everybody, all the important people. Suki Waterhouse, who I always think is the daughter of the guy from All New Sound System, but is not. That's Suki somebody else. Anyways, I'm getting boring. Anyways, the point being is, she sends a whole bunch of emails and they're kind of all over the place. What is she suing Aim on the Sniffers for? Copyright infringement, but did they like use her photo in an album cover or something? What is she claiming? Because she doesn't really say that, I don't think.
I'm not sure. That's why I sent it to you because, like you deal with this stuff all the time, and I was just a little confused.
Yeah, I didn't feel like really looking into the lawsuit. Well, actually, I sort of did, but I've been pretty busy these past couple weeks. So I don't have time to look into lawsuits that I'm not
That's
working on,
okay.
you know? So
Yeah.
she's suing Aim on the Sniffer for or maybe Amy Taylor herself, I'm not even sure which, for copyright infringement. And she's a photographer and some other things as well. And I'm not sure if this person is kind of weird or they're not, as M knows all full too well. Maybe twice or three times a year, we get an email from, and I'm not saying this person is a weirdo, but we'll get an
No.
email from like a weirdo where they're like suing somebody, but they're not actually. It's like you can't even figure out what's going on. You know what I mean? But
Yes.
so here's the is this news question. It appears this person is suing Amy Taylor or Aim on the Sniffers for copyright infringement. The question, M, is that news? I'm not sure. Like. So let's assume that they just used like a picture on an album cover or on social media or something, right? That the photographer is
Okay.
claiming they weren't allowed to use. Is that news? To me, that's like right on the line. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely it's not definitely news, but it's not definitely not news either. Because like for example, the Nirvana lawsuit, that's definitely news, right? When the kid was suing Nirvana for
Yes.
because he, you know, that's news, right?
That's
But like,
news. But
let's
yes.
say somebody's suing Green Day because Green Day didn't pay for an order of t-shirts, and Green Day says, well, the
Okay.
t-shirts were defective. Is that news? I mean, probably not, right?
I wouldn't think so. No, like it's news if
So
it's
is
like
it,
an
yeah.
Interpunk kind of thing.
Well, right. But see, Interpunk is, that's a great example because Interpunk is the punk hub where everyone bought stuff from, you know? And so if they're
Yes.
collapsing, that's news. But is Green Day having a dispute with their vendors news? Like, not really, probably, you know. I mean, and the fact of the matter is within the punk world and certainly within the music world, there are hundreds or thousands of those cases active of right now. You know, like Beyonce is probably always in some sort of litigation just because there's always somebody suing her for because she's Beyonce, you know. Like, you
Sure.
know, so is a person suing a band for copyright infringement, is that news?
I think it's news if it's like the Nirvana baby kind of thing, where it's very public and it's very like well document, not necessarily documented, but like very well covered, where it's you know like 100% what's going on and what is being put forward in court. You know? I'd say like
Oh, here's this claim. Here's what this person alleges. John Angus Stewart, who Amy Taylor has publicly referred to as her husband, publicly posted one of my copyright images without permission in a manner I contend was misleading. So is she saying that like this guy, I don't even know who this guy John Stewart is. Is she saying that he like put one of her pictures on his Instagram or something? Like, I wish he was clear.
I'm
Like, why
not
can't you just be clear
sure.
about what the issue is? Like, why can't you just
I'm
tell
not
me
sure.
he, like, why can't you just say he used my picture on his Instagram or something?
Like that's a thing where it's there. I have, there needs to be a bit more information, because I'm very unclear on a lot of it. You know, and it's like
And
when
it's,
we're reporting stuff, we have to be so careful and we have to be so like well researched when we're putting stuff out there. You know, like that's a big thing with some of the stuff that gets covered on the site is like it'll get covered on the site because there's a lot of information, because we know what's going on and because we can report it in a very clear way.
well, I mean, hypothetically, we can look at like whenever someone, and we've had this happen, you know, a few times a year. Whenever someone sends us like this person is a bad person or this person did something that's not cool, but it's always like vague and has like all this unnecessary info like woven into it. I'm always suspicious of that person, you know. Like if M walked up on the street and punched me in the face, I wouldn't send an email that says M put me in an unsafe environment and I think that she needs to face accountability for her. I would say, "M punched me in the face at the bus stop, and that's why I'm suing her." You know what I mean? Like,
Yes, yeah.
so I'm not even. I mean, we could look into this, obviously, but frankly, I just
We
don't have
could,
the
yeah.
energy to look in. I don't have the energy to look into a civil lawsuit regarding copyright infringement. You know, especially when we're getting dropped in like halfway in the into this. That's the thing, is we're always dropped in like halfway into the story, you know? Like, why can't you just say they did this bad thing and now I'm suing them because they did this big. It's always like halfway into the thing, you know? So anyway, M, I'm saying it's not news just because it's so vague and they're making me do the work.
Well, yeah, like it, that's kind of the other thing, right? Like with all of the research that we do for the site and for news stories, like it does take a fair amount of time. And it's like, we do have other, we all have other things going on that kind of take precedent, in certain circumstances. So, like, I think it's news if, like when the verdict is reached, maybe, like when there's more
Well,
publicly available.
I disagree there, I think, because the
Okay.
Nirvana thing is news before there's a verdict, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, I mean, I just wish this person gave me a case number that I could pull up the case number. They don't even give me a, or they don't even give me a case name, you know? Like, well, I guess that's what being a reporter is, and I'm not one. I'm just some guy that wants to write about wars on Punk news, you know. But of course, punk news is, we said we are the hard
We
news
are.
punk website, you know. Everyone
We
else is
cover a
like,
lot of
you know,
stuff.
no, but I'm saying we cover harder stuff, you know. You know, when certain bands are up to some sketchy stuff or whatever, or Trump that we're covering now more than ever, which we should, where the other ones are like, remember that time NoFX put out an album in 1997? Wasn't that great? And everyone gives it the thumbs up on Instagram, which I hate, Em. I hate that. I'm rambling. So, Em, answer the question. Is this news, Em? Is this news?
As it
Is someone
stands, right.
suing Aim on the is someone suing Aim on the Sniffers for copyright infringement because it looks like the husband of Aim put something on his Instagram? Is that copyright infringement? Is that news?
It's news if there's more information.
But we could dig up more information, Em.
If you want to, go for it. I don't have the time.
So you're saying if it's news depends on us.
No, well. Not necessarily. Like, there's definitely things that are news that we cover. It's just we need to know what's going on to be able to cover it. You know?
Well, here's my answer. This is not news, and here's why.
Okay.
There is no one solid test for what is or is not news. It's kind of a multi-factor test, and really you just kind of got to go with your gut, you know what I mean? And you know,
Sure.
I never went to journalism school or anything, and they say, oh, you know, all these things about what is and what is not news. They do all that, and then they just post on whatever they want anyways, you know. I'll say this is not news because this just appears to be kind of a copyright infringement lawsuit regarding an artist and a band or whatever. And it's not critical to the band. Like, let's say they did steal some picture. It's not gonna really fundamentally, it's not an album cover, you know, it's just some picture that they put on
Sure.
Instagram, apparently. And if this is baseless, then baseless lawsuits really aren't news unless it's some dramatic thing, like when the Bright Eyes guy got sued for rape and it was a baseless claim because he wasn't even in the country, and the person suing him admitted that they made it up. That's news because it's so extreme. This to me is just not that, like who cares? Like, if I mean, I guess they care, but does the public care if someone used a picture without authorization? I don't think most people care, Em.
Well, just when you were talking, it was like, well, that's what made the Nirvana thing so big because it was an album cover.
True, true.
And
Then I
that
will
was a big
modify my
reason
previous.
why it was covered. Sorry.
I agree, so I will modify my statement that you kind of have to factor in like cultural force. That album cover and that album is a huge cultural force. Is some picture that Aim on the Sniffers put on their Instagram one time, is that a cultural moment? I think no. I think it's as ephemeral as it gets.
It is worth saying, though, if you do have a photo by a photographer, credit the photographer.
I disagree. I
It takes
think,
like 2 seconds to do it.
yeah, but
Why do you
photographers are
disagree?
pain in the Because photographers are pains in the asses. They are pains in the, and you know, I'm not going to say who. A certain musician mentioned this to me, and this is interesting. Photographers, well, he, I'm going to say the following. He didn't say the following. To me, photographers do the least out of any of the arts, between music, visual arts, and so forth. It's the easiest gig, but they retain the most control. You know, music is the worst in that, in almost any or most record label contracts, they either assign all of the rights or they license them for a large period of time. So the band, even if the band made the album, they give it to the label, right? Visual art,
Sure.
similar. For whatever reason, in photography, photographers are taught from day one, never sell the rights to your photo. Never, only license them. And so there's a certain, I'll use the word union, but that's not the right word. There's a certain coalition or union of almost every photographer where they never sell the rights to their photos. So the record labels or whomever, you know, learn to not even ask to own the picture. They just ask to license it. Whereas with bands on most medium and big labels now, they own the album from the onset, you see. And that's just because bands have folded in that area where photographers have stayed strong, even though photographers have the easiest gig, if you ask me. And the reason, you know, I'm kind of annoyed at photographers, they are the biggest pains in the asses. They really are. Like, I can't tell you the number of times we've posted a promo picture of just some band thing in front of a brick wall, and the photographer be like, "Where's my credit?" It's like, all you did was ask the band in front of a brick wall and snap a picture. That is so easy to do and so minimal, and it's a promo picture. You know, the point of a promo picture is to promote the band, not to give you credit, you know. Meanwhile, how often are bands just totally ripped off from their music, you know, put on Spotify, put on YouTube, whatever, and they don't get nearly as upset, and maybe they should get more upset. And so I think, I mean, listen, photographers should get credited for their work if they can, but photographers are the biggest whiners in the music industry, there is, and probably the broader, and they demand the most rights and are the biggest pain in the asses. And to me, when they do kind of the least. So, you know, I'm sort of anti-photographers in that they whine so much and they demand the most, you know, and that's only because they've been taught to. So kind of kudos to them. Whereas bands and recording artists and even visual artists just get walked all over by everybody else. But for whatever reason, photographers, because they whine the most, get the most special treatment. And that's why, you know, I mean, if you can credit a photographer, great. But to me, they like, here's the crux of it. Photographer licenses their images for promo photos, for album covers. It's kind of understood that you don't necessarily get credit for that because it's annoying and is gets in the way of things, yet they still complain about it, even though they've already been paid, you see. And that's why I'm annoyed at photographers in general.
Well, all good points. I am going to go on the pro photographer side of things because I know a lot of photographers who are really awesome and who work really hard to get like their shots and to do everything. I have been in the press pit, like at a show where you're snapping photos and stuff, and it's hectic as shit, you know? So it's like good for you to be able to get, you know, nice stuff out of the chaos.
See, I disagree with that because I'll give you an example. At Summer Soiree 8, it must have been Summer Soiree 8. Like there was photographers there, and I didn't let them in, and they're like taking pictures, and they got in for free. And I'm like, how these people get in? And what they did is they just went to the door person and know they're like, oh, I'm a photographer, you know, I should get in or whatever. Let me in, you know. And so they let him in. And I think one of the bands let one of them in. And it's like, how is that useful to me that you are here? You know what I mean? Like, you own, like, if they took the photos and I own them or the band owned them, okay, but they own the photos. So essentially, I'm letting them into my space for free, or they're demanding to get in my space for free so they can make money off their own photos, you see? And that's a very common thing. That's what photographers do. Why should photographers get that free pass? It'd be one thing if the photos went to the band or me. But they keep them and then sometimes license them to the band at a cost, you see. What I'm saying is photographers have been taught to be very bold and very demanding, which I respect in a way. I think other art should be as bold and demanding. But that kind of is very annoying to me and gets in the way. It gets in the way in that we get these whiny emails like, you didn't credit me for this promo pick. It's like, well, you know what? It's a promo pick. You don't get credited for that. Or they come in the shows for free and kind of get in the way of my operations so they can make money, which is annoying to me, Em. Anyway, that's my stance. I'll give you the final word, photographers, Em. I'm annoyed by them. I mean, they certainly are great photographers, but I think the whiniest and most demanding of all the arts there is. And I think they kind of do the least, require the least amount of talent.
I do want to say, for anybody who's like, oh, was I credited? You don't get the credit in the story. You get the credit on the band page. So you go to the band page and then you'll see the name of the photographer, under the photo. So that's where you find the credits on Punk News. We do credit photographers, we credit them all the time.
I don't own him. I say F you.
Okay. I
Honestly, if
don't.
we do a premiere, if we do a premiere
Sorry?
and they and if we do a premiere and the PR person asks for me to credit the photographer, I do, but I don't go out of my way to do it.
I always put it in the band photo, like on the band page. So it's like, yep, it's credited forever there. You can find it there. That's where the name is. You see whose work is there, and boom, it's all good. It's all tied together. I respect photographers for like sticking up for what they do and being like, this is something that, I did. Yeah, I think writing should be more like that too, where it's like, nope, this is something that I did, and if you use it, you should credit me.
Yeah,
Which
well,
usually
this way, Em.
happens, but sometimes it doesn't.
As writers, we get walked all over, and when you turn a piece into a publication, the publication owns it. They can do whatever they want with it, and they don't even really have to credit you if they don't want to.
That's why you'll have to be really careful with who you work with and only work with good people.
Well, that's kind of easier said than done. You know what I mean? Because what if someone buys, whoever you used to contribute to, and so. Why do we sign away the rights to our freelance pieces then when photographers keep their pictures?
That is a good question, and one that
Well,
I would
things
like answers to.
they get well, and we'll find those answers out.
I will
But
dig.
here's something we did get the answer to. I was all fire and brimstone, and then after it happened, I was a little bit more forgiving, but not totally forgiving. And I was a little bit surprised by the general audience's reaction. Green Day did perform at Super Bowl 60. And of course, as the listeners probably know, before Super Bowl 60, I said there's only two roads for Green Day: ultimate true punks or phony baloney sellouts. And of course, the ultimate true punks angle was they said something, they would do something political in light of ICE or the Trump administration or anything. And the phony baloney sellouts would they be like, hooray, let's have a good time when I come around. Well, and of course, all eyes were on Green Day and on Bad Bunny. Would Bad Bunny be political? And of course, the more difficult question is there's it's surprising that the Super Bowl kind of signed up Bad Bunny and Green Day, both people known for being political, when the NFL is generally not political, or if anything, a little bit to the right of things. And so one would think they would have the artist sign a contract saying, I'm not going to say anything crazy, I'm not going to say anything political, we're just going to have a good time. And so that left us to wonder is, did Green Day sign something said they won't be political, even though they're Green Day? Or were they going to shock everybody? Well, Em, did Green Day shock everybody?
They did not.
They kind of just did some songs from American
But
Idiot. I think they also did Wake Me When September Ends or something.
nope, they did Good Riddance when
Good riddance.
the players walked out, like the VIP players or the players that were being honored or whatever it was. They did Holiday, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and American Idiot.
And then during the show, people had like those foam number one fingers that said Green Day. And then at the end, people held up like these two big banners that said Green Day and Super Bowl 60. Hooray, hooray, hooray. So at first, I was let down and disappointed that Green Day didn't do anything political, And of course, I was coming off fire and brimstone, like Green Day, you're a phony baloney sellouts. You suck. You use punk when it's convenient, and when it's not convenient, you're not punk. And that was my opinion before the Super Bowl. And then after the performance, I didn't have a positive view on Green Day, but then I realized, you know what? Like, them, one way to view this is, yes, Green Day kind of wimped out, and didn't do anything political. But then also I realized that, like, let's say they went like F Trump, Trump sucks, blah, blah, blah. Then it would have just been deleted from the broadcast. And so they really had no power ever, really. There was never any chance for Green Day to do anything really that radical, because it would have just been bleeped from the broadcast and it would have been a wasted gesture, you see, and they would have gotten sued into oblivion. And so then I thought, okay, well, Green Day won't do anything, but maybe just by being there, Green Day prevents a Kid Rock or somebody like that from being there, which in of itself is useful, and so maybe there's some kind of nobility there or positive that simply by taking up that space, Green Day is preventing MAGA type artists from performing, And then I kind of thought about it some more. I'm like, well, there's some positivity there. But on the other hand, Bad Bunny actually was political by being wholesome, if you will, or he was political by espousing the very tenets of the American Constitution, where he did things that God bless America, and he named all the countries of America, including the United States. And he basically kind of displayed community, and he displayed multiculturalism in America, and he just displayed the joy of dance. And Ricky Martin, is Ricky Martin Puerto Rican? Then I think he is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
even though Bad Bunny didn't go like F Trump, I hate Trump, he kind of showed a very positive view of multiculturalism in America and a very positive view of Latino people, which that in of itself is political, because there's so much ICE bullshit going around and people demonizing and committing crimes against Latino people at a far higher rate than any other group via ICE in America right now. And then at the end, he said he had a sign, or he either said or had a sign that said, "The only thing stronger than hate is love," which to me, M, that's like a Jesus-like statement. That's like something Jesus would say, or Buddha, or whomever. You know what I mean? And to me, that's kind of the most wholesome statement there is, right? And that made Trump go off on one of his Trump rants, which I don't even know if he was angry. Maybe he just knows that feeds his constituency. And so he called that un-American. I loved how he called that un-American, that loving America and loving thy neighbor and appreciating all the flavors of America, that's un-American. Even though Bad Bunny, of course, is an American. He's an American. Puerto Rico's America, And so, and actually, my mom goes to a quilting group, and some of the people there are probably not the kind of people, that we, well, some you kind of, whacked out. And so they were kind of upset about Bad Bunny, and Bad Bunny didn't say anything offensive whatsoever. He espoused love, and that caused hatred from the right, because we all know that the hatred is hypocritical and they're just about hatred. That's all they are about. All the right is about right now is hatred and doing damage and inflicting damage because they're angry. And that's what Trump is feeding into. So Bad Bunny, despite the fact that he didn't say F Trump or F Dice, F Ice, found a way to be political, and in a way that he was so political that he upset the president and had the president ran against him, which is nothing novel with Trump, but before Trump that would be unheard of. Like, Em, can you imagine like Obama or Bill Clinton or even George Bush like ranting against like a single person? Like, that's insane. You know what I mean?
No, like the exactly. You can't even picture it in
So Bad
public, I
Bunny,
mean.
right. So Bad Bunny found a way to get around his confines from the NFL and make, I would say, a relatively powerful statement. I'll give him an 8 out of 10 on that. Maybe a 9 out of 10, Whereas Green Day, I think, were a little lazier. They didn't think of how to do that. And they're a punk band. And being a punk band is supposed to be very creative, And so they really didn't think of any way to get, I mean, I guess maybe you say American idiot is a subtle statement, but I just don't think that was direct enough for people. And I think it was sailed over people's heads. So I think Green Day, while they didn't totally screw the pooch, they were very underwhelming and frankly didn't do nearly as much as they could have done. And I will kind of accuse them of being punk when it is useful and not so punk when it's not as useful. So that's my take on that. And then I'm going to talk about, well, actually, and I'll let you respond to that.
Sure. Yeah, like we talked a little bit about it on the podcast with Chris Wren there. too. So my thoughts on the whole thing. I will start with Green Day and then I'll talk about Bad Bunny. So firstly, 100% they like I agree with what you said with if they came out and said anything, it would be, cut to commercial, cut from the broadcast, all this kind of stuff. Like it would be very much gone. It'd be very much censored. Holiday is an anti-war song, you can read Boulevard of Broken Dreams in this context of like, you're walking through like the broken American dream. And then obviously you have American Idiot. Holiday, they didn't play it to like the representative from wherever has the floor on the Super Bowl show. And American Idiot, they didn't do the MAGA agenda, but they did do Subliminal Mindfuck America, which was obviously censored. But they did get that in there. They got all of, or not all of, but they got the majority of their political statements out at a pre-party in San Francisco on February 6th. So they spoke about ICE during that with Billie Jo Armstrong, excuse me, saying in part, quit that shitty job you have because when this is over, and it will be over at some point in time, Kristi Noem, Stephen Miller, JD Vance, Donald Trump, they're all going to drop you like a bad fucking habit. They dedicated Holiday to Minneapolis and changed the representative lyric in Holiday to the representative from Epstein Island has the floor. So I think it's pretty telling that for, and they also did the MAGA agenda thing during American Idiot at that show that was presented by FanDuel and Spotify at a club. And I think it's pretty telling that there's only like maybe one or two videos from it, and they're all fan shot. It's very hard to find videos of that show. But they did get political on an NFL affiliated show, even if they didn't get political at the Super Bowl itself. And again, like I said, you can in or like with the songs that they did play, they're playing them for a reason. So that is something where it's more of a subtle political message, or you could argue that it's more of a subtle political message. One thing that Sam mentioned when we talked about it on the podcast last time was when we were talking about it, just kind of baseless speculation, all three of us beforehand, she brought up like, oh, they could tape their guitars, they could do something like that to say, F ICE or whatever, they wanted kind of thing. But or do something with their clothing or whatever. And it was kind of surprising that they didn't have something like that, like some element where it was like, okay, we're at the end of the song, we're all gonna like turn around in the backs of our shirts, we're gonna be painted something or something like that. So I was surprised that they didn't have like a stronger, excuse me, statement. But at the same time, they were there and they were performing songs from American Idiot. They were performing anti-war songs. They were performing songs that were critical or are critical of America. So there is that. The other thing, again, kind of going back to what you said, like it is a very fine line where people are looking for literally anything to tear someone apart about. Like if Green Day came out and said, fuck ICE, they'd be like, okay, well, we knew this would happen, all this kind of stuff. And it would kind of be playing into their hand almost, which is, stupid that we even have to kind of think like that. But that is something. And I think with them getting out and doing what they did, like, it's not changing the world necessarily, but it's possibly changing someone's world because this could be someone's like first exposure to punk music. This could be somebody's like first exposure to songs that are critical of the American institution. This could be something like that. So that's just something that I was thinking for, again, that was born out of the discussion last podcast that I've just been thinking about a little bit in regards to the performance now. With Bad Bunny's halftime show. Awesome. Like that was so good because yeah, exactly like what you said, like he's highlighting joy and he's highlighting like all of these things, but like in a way where he's telling this story and it's making sense. Like he's talking about the energy crisis in Puerto Rico with the the polls and like the sparks and all of that kind of stuff. Like all of the business owners that were like the nail salon or the nail tech and like the food cart and stuff, those are businesses that are from Puerto Rico. Those are real. Like the couple getting married are a real couple who are doing that. The, you know, kind of the actor that's playing like the young him, he's watching Bad Bunny's Grammy acceptance speech in which Bad Bunny said ice out, you know. Like there's all of these like really good things. There's Ricky Martin, and with that it's the song, I believe the song that he sings is the song on Bad Bunny's record where he's talking about how he doesn't want to see Puerto Rico become like what happened to Hawaii kind of thing, where they had such a like this vibrant like culture and then it was just sort of like destroyed by colonialism and imperialism and like you know stuff like that. So all of this kind of stuff, what he says in Spanish before they cut to Lady Gaga is kind of like, is this what you want to see? And then it's, you know, her. And there's all of these things. And it's a really, really well done show. Touches on a lot of stuff, gets political. Also at the end where it's like, oh yeah, you know, I am an American because, you know, I'm from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is part of the states, the whole like love is bigger than hate thing, and then the here's all of the places that make up the Americas, it's not just the US, and like all of these things. So I thought he did that really, really, really well, and it was really interesting. Again, back to your point, when people who took issue with it were like, well, yeah, what did you have an issue with, you know, what did you have an issue with, because these are values that you say you hold, you know, and when they are presented by somebody who doesn't necessarily look like you, why are they now wrong, right? So hopefully that kind of got people to see the hypocrisy a bit more, but who knows? I thought it was a really good halftime show with Bad Bunny.
I think with regard to hypocrisy is, I mean, it's quite clear that Trump and all those people are the most hypocritical administration ever, you know? So I think
Oh,
what
yeah.
like I don't I don't I think hypocrisy doesn't even matter in their eyes. Like they don't even care if they're being hypocritical because, you know, that we all know and they all know what it's been all along. It's not whatever point they're espousing. They're like, oh, this is against the Bible, or oh, this is, you know, not fiscally. It's never been about that ever. It's been about racism
No.
and hatred and control. You know what I mean? So, like, does Kim Jong-un care if he's being hypocritical? No, he doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, you see. So I don't think attacking them as hypocrites hurts them because they don't care, you see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was just saying, I hope like people seeing it, maybe more people wake up and actually see the hypocrisy. That's what I was like, not the people who are in power who don't give a shit, like the people who are, you know, maybe on the fence or something.
Yeah, I think you're right in that, and that statements like that can pull from that thin, narrow strip of people that haven't totally made up their mind, or maybe people that support Trump or whatever, but realize, oh, this isn't cool. You know what I mean? I mean, there's always going to be knuckleheads that will follow them, you know, over the cliff, but maybe you can save those people that aren't that far gone, you know.
Oh, 100%.
So Bad Bunny, 1 out of 10, what do you give him?
Out of 10, Bad Bunny, I'm gonna give him a 9.5.
Green Day, 1 out of 10, what do you give him? I give him a 4 out of 10.
Out of 10, Green Day, I'm gonna give them a 6. I'm gonna give them a passing grade. Because if they didn't perform and they didn't perform songs that again are critical and are anti-war, who would have performed? And what message would they have had in their music? And I'm also giving them extra kind of points for their pre-party show.
The only points that I'm giving him are the one that you mentioned, that by taking up space to preventing Kid Rock or whomever from being there, you know. And this is kind of piggybacks on that, is I actually was surprised, although I shouldn't have been, is I wrote not a scathing review, but a disappointing review of Green Day on the site. And the vast majority of commenters, and actually I saw this on Reddit as well, the vast majority of commenters were like, well, Green Day never could have made a political statement, so what do you expect him to do? You know, so don't say anything bad about Green Day because, you know, they couldn't be political. So we can't expect Green Day to be political. And or also, how come whenever a band gets famous, we try to tear them down? I was not trying to tear Green Day down for being famous. In fact, I wanted them to be the most punkest band of all time, which I feel they missed the ball totally. And so I was annoyed. I mean, this has been my talking point the past year, year and a half, is I think Green Day's at a point where they're, quote, too big to fail. That even if they totally turn their back on punk values, and I'm not saying they did here, but I'm saying they could have been stronger, then people will still say, hooray, Green Day, just because people want to love Green Day, even if Green Day doesn't actually stand for what Green Day says they stand for. And I'm not saying Green Day doesn't, but I'm saying they missed the ball here and should be criticized for missing the ball. Not they, sh they shouldn't be obliterated, because, you know, if they said anything too crazy, they would have been bleeped out of existence. But I think they should have been taken to task for more than what they did. And almost every commentator disagreed with me. And on Reddit, almost everyone said, don't talk bad about Green Day. They're just doing Green Day things, you know. So I feel as though Green Day got an easy pass by the general fandom. And do you agree or do you disagree?
About them getting like a free pass.
So if you look at the comments to my review, and if you look at Reddit, not
Oh, wow.
everyone, but the majority, I would say 75%, maybe 80% of people saying, don't get mad at, either don't get mad at Green Day, they really couldn't have done anything anyways, or don't get mad at Green Day, they're just making music and you shouldn't, you know, criticize them for being a big band, you see. And to
Oh,
me, I'm
sure.
like, well, I can criticize them for being a big band or for not saying anything because they're a punk band. If it was, I don't know, Third Eye Blind, I would not be upset if they didn't say anything political because it's Third Eye Blind, you know. But Green Day is a punk band and they say they're a punk band, you see. And so I'm not saying Green Day is the worst band in the world. They've done lots of nice things. They made lots of music that people enjoy. I'm saying here they dropped the ball, you see. But most people disagree with me here and say Green Day should not be criticized for their pregame show. So my question to you, Em, is do you feel that people are correct in saying Green Day shouldn't be criticized here, or do you feel as though people are giving Green Day an easy pass simply because Green Day is too big to fail?
I don't think people are giving them an easy pass because they're too big to fail. I think, but I also think that people think very black and white about either I love this or I hate this, and there's no in between. And it's like everything is subject to criticism. Everything can be improved, you know, no matter what it is, you're always going to find something where it's like this can be better or that can be better. Or why wasn't this better, or whatever, you know? So I think with the climate right now, people might not want to be in that critical zone of something that they hold dear to their hearts. So I think they're being like, this was good. Can we just let it be good because we need one good thing? I think that's what it is. Again, I think the performance was good because it was high energy. They are doing more political songs, even if they're not, you know, fully getting in the face of whatever, right? Like, it was good, but there is criticism there, right? Like, two things can exist. That doesn't mean it was terrible, and that doesn't mean it was the best thing ever. It means it was good. There's room for improvement. So I think people need to kind of think a little bit like that. But I understand why people aren't, because everything's been shitty.
So you're saying people are correct in not taking Green Day to task?
No, I'm saying that nothing is 100% good or 100% bad. I think people are viewing this as this is good and I don't want to criticize it because this is one of the only kind of like small wins that I have, you know? But there is criticism and there is, you know, other things to talk about with it. So I think people are ignoring that side of things, you know, and they're like,
Well,
I don't want to think about the criticisms. I just want to think about the good things.
I think I agree with your statement, but I agree with it from a different perspective. I think people aren't taking Green Day to task because they can't bear the fact that their heroes aren't living up to what the heroes say they're going to live up to.
Okay.
Like, for example, let's say Penny Rimbeau signed a deal with Nike shoes, you know. Made in
Sure.
sweatshop. That would bum me the frick out. You know what I mean?
Of course,
And
yeah.
I would be like, Penny, you know, come on, man. You're the punk champion. How can you do that, Penny? How? But I think if Penny Rimbeau was Green Day, I think most people would say, well, of course Penny Rimbeau signing a deal with Nike shoes. You know, he's a big guy, man. There's no other shoe company big enough to do Penny Rimbeau brand sneakers. And I feel as though that's because they don't want to face the reality that their heroes or people that they admire aren't living up to the task they should be living up to. That's my perspective of your opinion. So I think we agree, but for different reasons or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like that's the other thing. Like you brought up that, but the Green Day like 7-Eleven crossover thing. That's all that made me
That
think
didn't
of.
bother me as much. I mean, I'm not thrilled about that, but that didn't bother me as much. If people want to buy shitty drinks, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
But isn't that the same sort of thing? Like they're just selling out?
Well, I mean, if you're looking for me to defend Green Day, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'll agree with you, sure. I mean, sure. I mean, yeah, fine. You know, but I'm saying, I mean, I'm not going to defend Green Day's Slurpees. I mean, I don't care. You know, I mean, I don't even care about Green Day. But yeah, so that's selling out. But I think. The Super Bowl is far more egregious than Slurpees because who gives a shit about Slurpees? You know, if people want to buy sugary Slurpees, I don't care. You know, I think
Sure.
that's as far as selling out, that's almost de minimis. Whereas not making a political statement in a giant forum when you're the punk band, I think that's definitely a missed opportunity and a drop ball. And I feel as though the fans should have criticized that and they didn't because they couldn't bear the thought that their heroes got scared when it came to step up time to step up to the plate. And I'm not saying Green Day's the worst guys ever, you know.
No.
I think they're nice people and I think they made a lot of cool things. I'm saying this one time they made the wrong choice. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
And I'm not even saying the wrong choice because they could have been like F Trump or F Ice. They would have been bleeped. I think they could have worked much harder to convey a more important message than they conveyed. And I feel as though being the punk band that's in the mainstream, they had the duty to do so and ignored that duty. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. I see where you're coming from.
Well, we'll see if Green Day redeems themselves. I think they can, but will they? Let's talk about, and we got a lot of heavy stories tonight. I don't know if we're going to hit them all or not. We'll see. Here's a fun one, though. Record Store Day has announced the Record Store Day list. It's looking pretty tasty to me. Every time the Record Store Day list comes out, people are like, oh, it looks kind of boring this year. I think this one's pretty rad. Record Store Day is April 18. I like Record Store Day, even though it's way too expensive these days. Like for a while, when it first started, it was a little expensive. Then it got crazy expensive. Then weirdly, it dropped down after COVID for some reason, and then now it's back up to crazy amounts again. Like last Record Store Day, like single LPs were like $40 and $45, but then some were like 18, which is weird. But for the most part, like the average price of a single LP was like 40, and a double was like 60, which is insane. Anyway, Record Store Day has announced the list. There's some pretty cool stuff on there. There's a new Ramones live. Oh, we gotta talk about the Ramones. Shh, I didn't put that on the list, Em. The whole Ramones thing. Well, we'll talk about that after this. So there's a new Ramones live record. There's a reissue of the Bad Brains live album on Org Music, not Trust Music, which is interesting. There's a reissue of the Misfits record, the Graves one. There's two Graves records. Famous
Famous
Monsters, I think.
Monsters.
A reissue of the New York Dolls comeback LP. Yet another reissue of Joe Strummer. A Sex Pistols compilation. A live Judas Priest record. A new Ween live record, which is very exciting, and a whole bunch of other records. M, you know, I mean, we don't need to
Peace.
draw this out because we talk about Record Store Day every time, and it's pretty much always the same thing. But I think sometimes Record Store Day, they don't put in the work. Sometimes they're like, oh, here's a picture disc of an Elvis Costello record, you know. Here's yet another reissue of Joe Strummer's solo record that we've already reissued like 5 times. You know, what I want is the stuff that maybe doesn't have huge market interest, but has strong niche market interest, a la a live Judas Priest record from their classic era. You know, a Ramones live record for sure. I'm psyched on that, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, M, I'm giving this list a B plus. I think there's a lot of tasty stuff on here that I'm pretty excited about. How do you feel about this list, M? And Record Store Day records, still to my amazement and my great pleasure, are still huge. I mean, we're on year, I don't know, year 15 maybe. Let me think. No, even beyond that, we're really on like year 18 of record comeback, and it's not going what it's still going strong. I don't know how long it's going to last, but records are still a big deal. And for the most part, young people are into records, maybe not quite as much as they were 3 or 4 years ago, but records are still strong. I'm psyched on it. I think this Record Store Day list is pretty sweet. And what do you think of the list? What do you think of Record Store Day? And what do you think of the fact that there's an artist called Caitlin Butts?
I was not aware of Caitlin Butts. That's
She's got a
awesome.
record called Yeehaw Sessions, and her name is Caitlin Butts.
Let's go, Caitlin Butts. Oh, this looks like a country thing. Oh my gosh. Sin Wagon is one
Sin
of
Wagon.
the
That's a good,
Sin
that's a
Wagon.
funny
That's
name.
awesome. That is great. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on here. Kind of like, well, you mentioned the bit like the heavy hitters. There's also like the Gits, Lunatics, Bob Mould, the Muffs, Peaches' new album, all this kind of stuff, like lots of really neat stuff. And then there's a fair amount of like more like kind of popular stuff. Like you have Fall Out Boy, you have Charli XCX, you have Brandi Carlile. It's a very like varied list. Oh, did we mention Bad Brains? Bad Brains are on there.
We did. What's interesting about
Okay.
that is, as we know, the Bad Brains just sold everything. Well, actually, we're not sure what they sold. They sold the name and probably certain catalog assets to Trust Records. But this live record is coming out on Org, who did a very nice job reissuing almost the entire Bad Brains discography, including an excellent job doing the best ever reissue of the first Bad Brains record, the ROIR cassette, or the Washington, D.C. record.
Yes, there is a live Joan Jett album.
Oh, yeah, nice.
There's a lot of really cool stuff on here. Like the more you look, the more you see, you know. As to Record Store Day, I do not currently, like I've been saying for a bit, but like I don't have a record player. If anyone wants to get me a record player, or if you own a record player company and you want to send me one for free, please do. But I think it's cool to see the every time like the list comes out, we talk about it. It's always really cool to hear like your guys' opinions and what's on see what's on the list and see kind of what like what's going on. I like CDs. CDs are cool. And usually like local record stores carry CDs and I love being in record stores. So one of these days I will be able to participate in an actual vinyl discussion. But I think this is cool.
Violet Grawl, Dave Grawl's daughter's got a record coming out. Should people care, M, or is that just a Nepo baby?
Can she sing?
I have no idea. Well, actually, she played at that Fire benefit with, right after Dave Grawl was in trouble for having a baby
Oh.
outside of his marriage, even though he's a nice guy, rock and roll. So the answer is
B.
as good as, if you go to a club, she can sing as good as any of the opening bands. How about that?
Okay. If she has talent and is doing interesting things, then check it out. If she doesn't and just sounds like everybody else, then nah.
I'm saying Nepo baby. Like if she wasn't Dave Grohl's daughter, no one would care, you know. But here's something I
Sure.
do care about. Ween, their
Ween.
re-release that they announced out of the blue, they announced a whole bunch of releases. First of all, there's the live record for Record Store Day. That's number one. But then they're releasing a box set that has all of their CDs essentially in one box set, 10 CDs, which is notable because all their stuff is very out of print and certain Ween CDs sell for 40, 50, or 60 bucks. They are also re-releasing Pepper, the album White Pepper, and Quebec, which are kind of two of their later era albums. And they're also releasing another live album called Live 1990, Bring Out the Foos Live 1996, which is the last tour of Ween as a two-piece before they became a full-on band. And so this is very interesting, A, because Ween stuff is always out of print. Since like 2000, Ween stuff has been pretty much out of print, you know. Most
Oh,
Ween
sure.
records sell for $100, $200, $300. This will cut against that to some degree. But also, of course, Ween canceled their big tour last summer, I think it was, because Dean Ween had some health issues, and you can put two and two together. And so it appeared that Ween kind of was mad at each other. And is the ice thinning with Ween?
Meaning, like, are they going to come back?
Do you think they're getting along? Are they going to come back? Because I suspected, blind speculation, they weren't getting along. And here's why. Because, when we had Mike Park on a few years ago, he's like, I can always tell if bands hate each other
Oh,
from
yeah.
watching them on stage, you know? And I felt that Dean Ween and Gene Ween probably weren't getting along. I mean, they definitely weren't for a while, because when Gene Ween went into rehab or had an issue, he came out and released an album called Free Man, which is pretty good. And the first half of the album is about how much he hates the guys in Ween because while he was having drug issues, he felt left behind. But as I always say, if you've ever dealt with anybody with drug issues, you can't fault anybody for leaving them behind. You got to work on yourself. You can't expect your friends to help you when you're in that situation. You can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. So at that time, they definitely weren't getting along. Then after the reunion or during the reunion, it wasn't clear if they were getting along or not. And the reason was, A, the whole stage thing, but also is despite the fact that they were touring, so much stuff was out of print, including stuff that they owned that wasn't owned by a major label. So you would think that they would make it a point to reach you all that kind of stuff to get money, and I can't blame them, but also to get the fans what the fans want. And so when a band that is worth money, that makes money off records, doesn't reissue their material, that's usually a sign of internal discord. And so because after the second breakup or hiatus or whatever, it seemed the band just came to a stagnant and they weren't reissuing anything. It seemed, well, they can't, like, even the Ramones could get along enough to sign a contract, except if they could, which we'll talk about in a second. But even the Ramones could go on tour and reissue their records. It appeared that Ween was so annoyed at each other that they couldn't even reissue their own records. They couldn't even sign a contract. Now it appears that there's archival stuff coming out and reissues. So, M, do you think the ice is thinning
Yes,
with Ween?
I do. I think the ice is thinning. I think they are on the road to getting along again.
Do you think
That's what I
Ween will play
think.
live again?
I think Ween will play live. I don't know. Like, I have a feeling that they will, but that they're going to do kind of like a final tour sooner rather than later and be like, no, this is seriously it. And they're just going to like call it. Again, just baseless speculation, but that's my two cents. What do you think?
My base of speculation is they are not going to do a final tour. They are only going to do Coachella type mega shows and take $500,000 here, $500,000 there, and so forth, which frankly, from a business standpoint, isn't necessarily a bad idea. Why, quote, kill yourself on the road for $50,000 a night or whatever, when you can play two shows a year or 3 year and make what you would have made through 30 or 50 days of touring?
Yes, true.
So we will see, but things are looking positive for Ween. Let's talk about the Ramones real quick. So there's been a battle for the Ramones name and control of the Ramones and what the Ramones can and cannot do for the past 21 years or so, or something like that. Of course, that's the battle between Mickey Lee, brother of Joey Ramone, and Linda Ramone, wife of Johnny Ramone. And where we last left off 2 years ago or 3 years ago, something like that, Linda sued Mickey for authorizing a Joey Ramone biopic which included Pete Davidson, and that went to arbitration, and the arbitrator found that indeed Mickey Lee had violated the agreement of RPI, the entity that controls Ramon's intellectual property, because without consulting Linda Ramon, a Joey Ramone biopic does tell the stories of the Ramones, which Linda is entitled to a say in. Then after that, Mickey sued Linda for using the name Linda Ramone, which he felt violated the Ramones trademark, and therefore was in violation of the RPI agreement. And of course, about 3 or 4, actually more like 5 or 6 years ago, Mickey Lee previously sold all of Joey's publishing. And so things had been very bad between those two for a long, 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 long time. And actually, I've got a sort of a hot take too, that I'm going to get to in a second. But the battle's over. There's been a settlement. And it's unclear if this was done through, I think it was done through a settlement conference. So essentially, Linda, and this is big news. I'm surprised this wasn't bigger news in the punk world. Maybe people that care are getting older now, and the younger people just don't give a shit. Like, for in my day, this battle is one of the biggest battles in music. Well, it's over. It's settled. Linda Ramone owns all of the Ramones, and it appears she might have made some sort of payout to Mickey as part of the settlement agreement. So now Linda Ramone is the sole controller of the Ramones' IP and the Ramones' trademark. That's a big deal, Em. That's a big deal.
It is.
So people are divided, you know. And what's funny is I can't give too much away. Some people that you would think would be on side A or on side B, and some people that you might think are on side B or on side A. I'm on Linda Ramone's side, and not that I'm saying Linda's an angel or the best person ever, but here's what I will say about Linda. Linda has done a fantastic job of getting Ramones reissues out there, which reissuing material is important to keep it the lifeblood and keep it, you know, coming around the new generations. The Ramones 2003 reissues are this probably the second best reissues ever done after the Crash reissues. Her Mega Deluxe reissues from 2010 are super nice. The archival material that we are getting on Record Store Day, super nice. That Ramones like 80s box set was awesome. The New Year's Eve 1980 live show was awesome. We're getting a lot of premium material, lot. Archive Ramone stuff that I feel is not exploitative, that is genuine quality product that Ramones fans will enjoy and that keeps them in the conversation. So I don't particularly care if Linda Ramone is a quote nice person or not. I actually think she's probably kind of, I mean, I realize it's business and there's a battle, but I think she's a relatively nice person. I interviewed her once and she was cool. Not that that means that much, but I think she has stood by, and you might even say, well, it's only in the name of money. Well, I don't care if she's only doing it for money, which I don't think that she is. I think money's a factor, but I think it's far from the only factor. If only because the reissues are such quality product that if she was just doing it for the money, the level of meticulousness and quality and interestingness is the clearly being overseen by a fan. And I'm not even saying that Linda's putting them together, but she's selecting people that are treating this material with the dignity that it deserves. So I think Linda has been doing a fantastic job managing and overseeing the Ramones holdings, if you will, or the Ramones message. Where Mickey, you know, I'm not saying he's the worst guy ever, but he saw, you know, he's the one that was always accusing Linda of doing it just for the money. He was the one that was always he was accusing Linda of being exploitative. But then he went and sold the publishing to Joey Ramone. So to me, you lose a lot of credibility there. You're always accusing Linda of doing it for the money, but you're the one that sold out, you see. And so based off the fact that Linda has been in control, or not in control, but has been the overseer of these excellent reissues, these excellent Record Store Day things, and for a while she got, you know, she actually for a long time, this won't even be on people's radars these days because everything is everywhere now. But she got a lot of flack for putting Ramones t-shirts in like Sears and in like Kmart or in Target, you know, and people are like, well, she's just doing it for the money. Well, you know what? First of all, people, listeners, you don't own the Ramones. Anybody that can like the Ramones that wants to like the Ramones. Also, by putting them in those stores, that makes people say, oh, Ramones, what's this band? Let me check this out. So I wish the Melvins were in Kmart. You know, I wish Black Flag was in Kmart, you know, like this is great material that people should be checking out. And t-shirts is one of the main ways to get people interested and to keep things alive. So, yeah, sure, some people are wearing Ramones shirts to quote look cool. Who gives a shit? I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? If them selling t-shirts in Kmart is the reason I get these cool reissues, well, that's fine with me. I think that's great, you know. and maybe get people interested in the band and checks them out. Like there is no place for gatekeeping. I should say this. There's only a little bit of place for gatekeeping in punk rock. And the fact of the matter is, if something gets people interested in Ramones, that's A-okay with me. So I think this is a good move. I'm excited for the future of the Ramones, and I wonder how much material is left in the archives. I have a feeling, I have a feeling there's not a ton of stuff left in the archives, but there's at least enough interesting stuff for the next few years. And what's your take on this battle?
I think it's great to see it resolved, and I think the right person won for this. I agree with everything that you've said, like everything that Linda Ramone has done with the Ramones, like name and logo and recordings has been really good. It did used to bother me when I was younger to see like the Ramone shirts kind of everywhere, and it just kind of being like, oh, well, punk is a like fashion statement, not necessarily as like I'm wearing the shirt because I like the band. But as I've gotten older, it's like I am trying to kill the gatekeeper in that sense within myself, because it's like it's good that people are interacting with it, and it's good that people will eventually look into what it is, what it stands for, and hear the music, become a fan, all this kind of stuff. So, I've turned the corner in a good way for that. I also really like the quote from the court filing where Linda is referred to as Ms. Ramone three times. I really like that. Because it's like, oh, you have a problem with this? Here it is. You know? So,
Is it, I don't know if she actually
yeah.
is Ms. Like, is that her legal name, Linda Ramone? I don't think it is.
I don't know. Because, like, they use Mikey Lee or Mickey Lee's full name. Like, real name, like, legal name.
Her legal name might be Linda Ramone.
It might
Because I mean,
be.
obviously, Johnny Ramone's name is not actually Johnny Ramone unless
No.
he changed it legally. I don't think he did, though. But did Linda legally change her name to Linda Ramone? That'd be
Did
interesting
any
to
of
know.
them change their names? Like legally?
I believe no Ramone legally changed the name to Ramone.
Okay. I want to know about Linda Ramone now. Is that her? Did she actually? Oh, Rathmone.
You know, I will say, like, if you look at some of those older pictures of Linda Ramone was smoking. It's like, no wonder Johnny stole her from Joey. You know what I mean? However, I would say, Em, that Joey Ramone played it all wrong. You know, totally wrong. And here's why. The story is, and Linda actually disagrees with this story. The story is that Johnny stole Linda from Joey. Linda said they were already broken up at that time. However, if I was Joey, I wouldn't be like, you stole my girlfriend. Even if he did, I would never admit to that, you know, because that makes you look kind of like wimpy and weak. You know what I mean? I'd be like, you want yesterday's news? Go ahead and have it. You know, like, you know, it's interesting that Joey took the, oh, I'm the wounded puppy angle instead of, oh, you want my leftovers? Go ahead and take it. You know what I mean? I feel as though, well, from a drama standpoint, that gives him a good story. You know what I mean? So maybe that was the right choice. But from a self-dignity standpoint, I'm not sure where that leaves you. You know what I mean?
I think it just kind of buys into the view you hold of yourself and the narrative you have for yourself. And if you
So
think of yourself as a tragic hero, that's how you're going to cast everything. And if you think of yourself as somebody who either doesn't care or is kind of like not the tragic hero, but like the kind of stereotypical like heroic hero kind of thing, you're gonna view and talk about things in a different way. Also, I kind of wonder if he held on to that for kind of songwriting purposes, to be like, yep, this was a fan or a fundamental part of my life, a formative part of my life, It changed who I was. It was very painful for me, and I'm going to hang on to that and draw from that to create songs.
What's interesting is most of the other Ramones, including Marky and Tommy and Dee Dee, they side with Joey on that, and that they say, no, I'm sorry, they side with Johnny. They say that like she wasn't even really like Joey's main girlfriend, you know, and that really the view they espouse, which I think I agree, is that, you know, that all the Ramones pretty much hated each other, or there was severe tension between them. So that was
Yeah.
just yet another way for Joey Ramone to passively aggressively attack Johnny, you see.
Yeah, probably. Like, she probably doesn't factor into it more than just sort of like a figurehead for the animosity.
Well, there you have it. And you know, we will never truly understand the psyche of the Ramones. But it's a fascinating study, Em. It never is not fascinating. Anyways, I think it's I think, you know, Em, last question with regards to this. And, you know, we've already been doing almost an hour and a half, but we got a lot more to cover. So I'm down to keep trucking at least for a little while. Em, you down to keep trucking at least for a little while? Or we could push some stuff till next week. What do you want to do?
I can keep trucking for a little while. And it looks like she did change her name.
Oh, she, how do you know?
Just everything that I have found is just Linda Ramone.
Yeah, I think, but I see, I think she, I'm not sure that she might have. I wouldn't be surprised. But actually, what we could look at the court documents, and that would tell us, you know. Anyways, and how much material do you think is in the Ramones archive? Are we going to get more quality material, or are we going to get like barrel scraping type stuff?
I think there's another three records full of quality material before it becomes barrel scraping. That would be my baseless speculation. What about you?
I agree. Well, I would say there's, well, actually there's at least like seven or eight live albums in that there's a, so when they did the deluxe reissue where they did like three CDs, there's like about eight or nine live albums between all of them, which have not been on vinyl. They've been on CD, not on vinyl. Some of them have been on vinyl, but most are just on CD. So you've got those right there. There's actually a ton of unreleased and rare Joey Ramone solo stuff, but that wouldn't be part of this conversation, you know. But so why isn't Mickey Lee putting that out? You know what I mean? There's a full album
Yeah.
worth of rare Joey Ramone stuff. Like, put that out, Mickey. Like, what's the hold up? It's good stuff too. And actually, there are at least two fantastic sounding Joey Ramone live bootlegs. I have them. Put those out. You could easily clean them up. Anyway, Joey Ramone solo performances, that is. So going back to the Ramones, there's at least one disc worth of officially released studio rarity, which they can still put out. And there's probably some. The Pleasant Dream demos were very interesting because they sounded a lot different than the album. So I will say there's the eight or nine live albums that are already on CD. I will say there's two or three live albums that are not on CD. And I would say there's two records worth of interesting material that is released or rare, something like that. So I would say there's at least a few, you know, 5 more years of excellent Ramones material. We'll see. Now, I'll be, here's the thing, Em, with Linda Ramone, now the pressure's on. She won, but now she has to deliver.
But I think she's been delivering for the past little bit.
Oh, I agree 100%. But will she keep delivering? I think she's been delivering. I think she's been delivering for the past 20 years, frankly. But will she keep delivering? I think she
I'm
will,
going to say
actually.
yes. Oh, 100%.
Here's someone that I think did deliver. Morrissey. He put out a second single from his album. Actually, I think he put out a third earlier this week. The Notre Dame. Of course, the first Morrissey single from the new album, which is called "Makeup Is a Lie," with the title track "Makeup Is a Lie," which was boring. It was a boring song. You know, the new one is called Notre Dame, and it's about the fire of Notre Dame Cathedral, and it came with some was controversy in that the record label made Morrissey remove a lyric, and so the new one is
Oh.
kind of like an electronic song, and the whole song is about Notre Dame Cathedral burning down, and the lyric on the song was "We will not be silent," and they said. What was the other lyric? Actually, I should pull it up real quick. It's like the police said there's nothing to look into or something like that. You know, they oh, they, here it
Oh.
is. Here's the lyric. Before investigations, they said there's nothing to see here. And that's the lyric in the song. So, first of all, Em, what did you think of this
Oh.
song? I thought the song was very good. I'll give it a solid B. I thought for Morrissey, Later Day Morrissey, good song. I dig that as electronic. And I also like, and this is something rarely mentioned, and I'll let you respond now. I'm sorry. Is everyone always loves
It's
Morrissey for
okay.
the Lovey Dovey songs. And I like the Lovey Dovey songs too. But my favorite Morrissey songs are the weird paranoid ones and the mean ones. And this is a weird paranoid one, which I think is so interesting because it's almost like a dance song. And Morrissey is doing his gentle singing. And this whole thing is about a weird cover up type thing and paranoia, which I love. I love when Morrissey is whacked out and weird. And so for me, Em, this is getting close to prime Morrissey, this song. How do you feel about this song?
The song was definitely better than the first one. It was a lot more interesting. It makes a lot more sense if they had kept that lyric in one way, because like
That
when it
lyric is it,
goes,
the one I read is in there, and I'll tell you the link that was taken out in a second.
oh, okay, sure, okay, because like that was a part of the song that kind of lost me, which was just like the like, we will not be silent. And then it was kind of like, okay, about what? About who burned it down? Or is these the people who are like buried within the church who are saying we will not be silent, you know? Or is this a whole other can of worms? So I did like the sort of like spooky thing, like, oh, there's a hand, you know, touching me and all this kind of stuff. I like the idea of kind of like Notre Dame, like zombies or like ghosts or something, and I feel like that
That's a cool
evoked it
title,
a
Notre
little
Dame
bit.
Zombies. I think you should write that song,
Yeah.
and Notre Dame Zombie. That's a cool song.
Hell yeah. Thank you. And his French accent when he says Notre Dame is very over the top. It made me
Is
laugh.
it bad? Is it bad? Is his accent bad?
It's a little it's very what's the word I'm looking for? Like overacted, you know?
Here's the original lyric, what he sang live, and then here's the lyric that they changed it to on the record. The live lyric, before investigations, they said it's not terrorism. Then it was changed at the record label's request,
Oh.
a little bit of battle. Before investigations, they said there's nothing to see here. And this was seen as his
Oh.
lyric was seen as very, very obviously he's implying that he thinks Notre Dame Cathedral was burned down by terrorists. And so that was
Ooh.
seen as very eventual, controversial. But I don't understand why that's why is that controversial for him to have that conspiracy theory.
I think because of his statements about that can be construed as racist or
See, but
are
here's my thing
racist.
is if he said before investigations they said it's not Arabs, that would be very offensive to me, you see. But he's saying before
Yes.
investigations that it's not terrorism. So are we worried about defaming terrorists? Aren't we against terrorism?
No,
So why we go ahead.
I think it's what he could possibly be implying by terrorism, you know, and being like, oh, these are the types of people that do terrorism or whatever.
But who? What people?
I think based on his kind of racist remarks, it would kind of the dots would connect.
See, I don't know that I don't know that he's ever really said, I mean, maybe he has, but what I'm saying is it's unfair. See, to me, he's saying terrorism, so everyone else is saying, oh, well, he means Arabs. To me, that might be kind of racist because I'm not worried about saying bad things about terrorists. Terrorists is bad. Any kind of terrorism is bad. Any terrorism from anywhere is bad, you know? So I don't know
Yeah.
why we're worried about him hurting the feelings of terrorists. That's fine with me, him hurting the feelings of terrorists. Now, I understand what you're saying, Em, and that people are saying he's implying Arab people, you know? But he doesn't say that, and there's no lyrics in here to suggest that, you see? So for me, it's unfair to make that leap. You know what I mean? I think that's so I mean, I can understand people's concern here, but I think it's weird that this tiny little thing, which requires a fairly extensive leap, is the thing that people are getting so hung up on. When he said, I think things that are kind of wackier 6 or 7 years ago, you know. So for me, this is the thing that held up the album for 5 years. This seems like such a like a minimal thing, because if anything, we're saying, oh, well, don't say anything bad about terrorists. Well, of course we want to say bad things about terrorists. Any terrorist is bad, you know? And so I think this is people kind of confusing issues here. So I have no problem with him saying bad thing about terrorism. If he said all terrorists are Middle Eastern or something, that's bad, obviously. But that he's not saying that, you know? He to me, this is him having weird conspiracy theories. I mean, is there any veracity to that at all? I don't even know. Is there? Do you know?
That no, there, as far as I know, there's absolutely nothing to suggest that Notre Dame was a terrorist attack. Is
Okay,
that what you were
well, anyway,
asking?
that is what I asked him. Thank you for that info. So my point being is, oh, but it looks like,
Did you find something that
well.
said there is?
Terrorists did try to blow up Notre Dame in 2016 with a car full of gas.
I did not know that.
Well, we're not going to get to that in the end, because I feel like it's going to be problematic for us. So,
Sure.
the point being is if we take his lyrics at face value, he's saying they said it was terrorists. And everyone says, well, it wasn't terrorists. So let's say he's lying, and he probably is lying, or not lying is the wrong word. Let's say he said it was terrorists, but it wasn't terrorists. To me, that's who cares if he's saying bad things about terrorists that aren't true? Terrorists are bad people, you see. And so the response is, well, he doesn't actually mean terrorists. He means Arab Parisians or whatever. But he doesn't say that. And I fear it's unfair to staple that to him, you see. And that's my argument. My underlying point is, of all the things that get upset about, this tiny little lyric that requires such extrapolation appears severe to me. That being said, Morsi's kind of made his own bed by saying some stuff is unclear what he's saying. And then when you say, Morsi, what are you saying? He's like, I'm not telling. So he's kind of made his own bed in those regards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if he just
Oh,
said, I believe
100%.
XYZ, he could solve a lot of his own problems if he would just say, I believe XYZ, but he won't do it. You know what I mean? So,
Yes.
at any rate, I think the song is good. I think of all the lyrics to get upset about, this one is not that upsetting. I think it's neat when Morsi is weird and paranoid. And so, yeah, man, you know, is Morsi climbing his way back from his season in purgatory? Perhaps. What do you think of that? What do you think of my line there? M, season in purgatory.
Nicely done.
And do you want to talk about Wasserman, or do you not want to talk about that tonight?
I'm good if we want to push it.
Okay, we can push that till next week. There might be some developments.
That's what I'm thinking,
Otherwise,
yeah.
let's do two quick stories. This one will be real quick. Michael Graves is going on tour. It's a big tour. 55 dates. Q&A, acoustic, and spoken word. And it's all in like these backwater places, because a lot of his shows get canceled and stuff. And frankly, a lot of his shows get canceled due to Punk News, because we were the first to report on him saying he was a Proud Boy, which blew up all the social media and kind of ignited this whole conversation about Michael Graves being MAGA. And of course, I don't need to say it, but I will. MAGA is lame. MAGA is stupid. MAGA is bad. And certainly calling yourself a proud Western chauvinist is a dickhead kind of thing. And so anyway, Michael Graves is going on tour. M, this is not coming anywhere near me, but would I go?
No.
Yes, I would. You know why?
Oh, interesting. No, why?
I would love to go to this and do like an embedded report, like see who's there. Like, is it
Oh.
just like punk fans that just want to hear "Dig Up My Bones," or you know, dig up, what's the song? "Dig Up My Bones." Is that, no, that's not the song. "Dig Up Her Bones."
No.
Like, is it just like punk fans that want a little bit of Misfits, and this is a cheap way to get Misfits? Or is it like a full-on MAGA rally now, or even a Klan rally? Like, who's there and what's he saying? That's what I'd like to see. I would love to go to this like top secret, you know what I mean? And see what was there, and like do like a full-on. You have 20/20 in Canada, M, or like 60 Minutes.
Yeah, W5
Yeah, so like do something like
and the
that, you know,
Fifth Estate.
do the story on Michael Graves. Like, who's at the Michael Graves? Wouldn't that be a really interesting article?
I would read it. I would
Well,
definitely read it.
I want to go, but he's not coming anywhere near me. And even if he was, I couldn't go because the font on his poster is like 0.05, so I couldn't even see where the shows are. So,
That is one of the worst tour posters I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, something
There's a
about
lot
MAGA is,
happening here.
and I'm saying this is a good thing. MAGA is terrible at graphic design. They are terrible at it, them.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I'm glad they are, you know. And would you go to this, like embedded? Would you go to this on like top secret?
No, I don't think I could. It would be one of those things where it's like, because I have a feeling there would be like a turning point at some point during the show where it'd be like, ugh, nope, I can't do this. And I'd like leave or something. Like there'd be, I have a feeling there'd be something that would like really piss me off. And it's just like, I can spend my time doing something else. You know what I mean? So, no.
I have a feeling it would be depressing slash rewarding. It'd be depressing that it'd probably be like 19 people there, and it's like a bunch of like MAGA chodes and dudes that are like 50 that just love the Misfits, you know? And it would be like
Yeah.
underwhelming and stupid and lame. I think that's what it would be, frankly.
Probably. Oh yeah, there's not even venues on here, huh? It's just dates.
Well,
Or
the
just
reason is because
sorry. Yeah.
he gets a
Cities.
lot of his shows shut. He gets a lot of his shows shut down now, which I actually don't approve of. I believe in the freedom of speech, and I think if he wants to have a show at some shitty bar, he should. And I also think if people want to protest outside, they can do that too, you know. But I'm not for silencing people unless it's literally dangerous things like how to build a bomb or whatever, you know. But if he wants to expose shitty views, that's fine with me. Because as I've said before, and as Jello was saying 30 years ago, when you stifles people's freedom of speech, then you push them underground until they explode. And that's exactly where we're at right now. And that's why MAGA is ruling the country right now, is because dummies were kind of found like these secret pockets to collect and talk in and kind of, you know, explode out of the ground. So, you know. Anyway, my grave sucks. But I will say his two albums, I listened to them recently. They're really not that bad. And his two Misfits albums, they're really not that bad. So And should we cover Michael's graves then at Punk News?
I understand why you covered him, but I'd say no.
Why?
Because like there's a lot of people who just look at, and I know like you picked the perfect post or the perfect picture for like the post here. But like there's people who just see it and think, oh, you're promoting this guy, or you're
Well, that's the one
like,
that. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, yeah.
no, I understand that. Like I understand, you know, you have to read it and everything to understand what's going on, but like there's a lot of people who don't do that and just see it and are like, oh well, why are you supporting this guy or why are you giving space to this guy or whatever. And like that's something that I try to do with like stuff that I cover like on Punk News, is I try to make sure to the best of my abilities that the people that I'm covering are decent people. You know,
See, I
and
disagree. I disagree with. Oh, go ahead.
just because it really like sucks to see like someone take the space of like somebody else who might like have something different or something. Anyways, I'm not gonna finish that, but that was just a half-baked thought, but yeah, so that's my opinion. That's my approach to it. I understand why you covered it, and like it is news in the sense that this is something that's happening. Shortly after this piece ran, I was on Instagram and something popped up. And it was, I don't know if it was his US shows or if he has European shows. I think it was European shows. But there's like this whole group on Instagram that they just get the shows banned. Like that's what they do. They like call these places, they do all this kind of stuff, and they're like, yep, we don't want him here. So I
See,
don't know, it's interesting.
to me, that's fascism. To deny someone their freedom of speech is fascism, and I can't support that at all. I do strongly disagree with your position that we should only cover people that are, quote, good. First of all, who am I to be the judge of who is, or I mean, obviously, if someone's like a pedophile, then we know they're bad.
Yeah,
But
that's what
who am
I'm.
I to,
Go for it.
So who am I to judge whether or not someone is a good person absent extreme circumstances, you know? Also, we're news. It's not up to us to decide what is good and bad news. We are news. So I think we definitely should cover anybody up to the point, of being a truly wretched person, Yeah, Michael Graves is a shithead. He's got shitty views, but it's punk news, and I definitely think we should cover it. I don't think people want me to be their nanny and decide what they should or should not read, and so that's my opinion. We're punk news, and if we're news, news does not only cover good things, we cover good and bad things. And it's not for me to be the arbiter of what is good or is not good, because where do you draw the line? Do we cover Punk in the Park because they got MAGAtized or they donate to MAGA? Do we cover Social Distortion? They're linked to Dixon. Do we cover X, the band X, because Xzine is a MAGA person and beyond that? Do we cover, let me think, what else? Do we cover Sublime? Because the drummer might be MAGA. So once, and of course, if we cover someone, does that mean we're saying they are a good person? Well, what if it turns out that they're actually a shithead, which happens a lot,
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So I don't know how we can make that distinction. I think it's unfair and not proper for us to make that distinction, absent, who's the guy with Ian Watkins? But that's news,
Yeah.
that's bad news that we cover. Now, if Ian Watkins went on tour, would I cover it? That's a good question. I mean, he's dead, obviously.
I wouldn't cover it.
Probably. Would you cover Sublime?
I would cover Sublime.
What, because you feel as though being MAGA is not as bad as being a pedophile?
Well, because there's a difference. But now, with the Epstein files, is there even a difference? You know, it's all linked. So it's one of those things where probably not. You know, like, because it doesn't matter how you're covering people, you're still giving them a platform. So, like, that's something that we've talked about on the podcast before, and it's something that I've thought about a ton with punk news and, like, kind of, you know, my involvement in it.
See, I hate that term giving someone a platform, because to me that implies giving someone a place to speak what they want to speak. I don't think covering news of someone is giving them platform. I think that's shining a light on a specific issue, good or bad. So I definitely don't think we should only, I don't agree with that. I understand you might disagree, but I'm saying I disagree with that concept. But I think I wouldn't cover Ian Watkins if he was just going on tour. But then who was the guy that hired a hitman to kill his wife? Who was that?
The guy from Oh, 1 minute. I
Tim
always get
Lambesis.
this.
Tim
Yeah.
Lambesis. Whatever band he was in, was it Azalea Dying or was it the other band? I always get that wrong. Let me look that up real quick. I don't want to
He
defame anybody.
was in As I Lay Dying. Yep.
Okay, yeah. So we did cover him when he went on tour, but to me that is news, because this guy that was found guilty of trying to hire a hitman to kill his wife is now back on tour. Isn't that a issue? So I think we would cover that, so I think we definitely should cover that, because that's quote bad news, but like I said, is I'm very wary and terrified of passing some moral judgment on most people, because that's not really our job, and we don't really have the skills or the knowledge to really issue a verdict one way or another. And so we're news, we're not a fanzine, and I don't agree with the concept of giving someone a platform. If anything, like, is us saying Michael Graves is MAGA and a chauvinist, is that giving him a platform? To me, no, it's the opposite. It's like kind of showing people who he really is and him losing a lot of fans, which is what happens,
Yeah.
because really, I mean, if Michael Graves played his cards correctly, he actually could, like, if Michael Graves wasn't a shithead, and let's say he was just the guy in the Misfits, he could play clubs as Michael Graves does the Misfits and make a pretty good living, But instead, he's doing these backwater things because he's a creep. And that's in part due to punk news saying, look at this dude, he's a MAGA dude now, or always was. So, anyways, that's my feeling. And I'll give you the last word on that. And then we'll cover someone who is not problematic and is cool and rad. Do you have any final words, or should we move on to our final story, Em?
My final words are, well, yeah, let's just move on.
Kim Gordon, not problematic and
Yeah,
cool.
very
She's
cool.
got new, he's got new, she's got a new album coming out March 13 on Matador. It's called Play Me. And she's got a new song called Dirty Tech. And it's actually a video. What did you think of
Yeah,
Dirty Tech,
it
Em?
is a video. I liked this. I thought it was fun. I've listened to like some of her solo stuff kind of like on and off, and this was like it's very kind of electronic and all this, the video, she's in like an industrial park and in like an office building walking around, and like at one point she gets all tangled up in these wires, and the song's kind of like talk dirty but like dirty tech and stuff, and it's
Dirty tech.
yeah,
No such
like
thing,
it just
zombies.
sounds
Dirty
cool.
tech.
Exactly, they're all connected. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I'm excited for this album, and I thought the video was interesting. I thought the video was going to be much different, just based on like the thumbnail and stuff. I thought for some reason she was going to be like turned into like a tech thing or something, just with all the wires. But I liked how it was. And good song. John, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was cool, man. Kim Gordon's still pushing the envelope, and wow, 58,000 views. That's pretty cool. Kim Gordon's still
Yeah.
pushing the envelope, still making rad music, and still kind of making stuff that you that is new and interesting, and not necessarily previously part of her canon. So very cool. I think Kim Gordon's rad as hell. I would go see her live. I'm going to check out this album. Also, and Kim Gordon, style icon, style icon.
Very true. Very, very true. Yes.
So
So many good looks.
don't see Michael Graves unless you're doing an embedded like I want to do, but do go see Kim Gordon.
Yes.
And rank it from one, let's see, one, two, three, four, one to five. Who should people go see this year, Em? Kim Gordon, Ween,
Oh.
Michael Graves, Morrissey, and Green Day.
Sorry, which one was the lowest?
One is the best. One is the person people should see the most. Or make the most effort to see, and five is the least. Kim Gordon, Ween, Michael Graves, Morrissey, and Green Day.
Okay. I have it. Kim Gordon will be number one. Ween is number two. Green Day is number three. Morrissey is four. And Michael Graves is a very low five.
I will do Ween at number one, assuming they reunite, which we don't know that. You
Oh,
don't know
yes.
that. Morrissey number two, he's problematic, but he's so good live and on record. Kim Gordon number three. Green Day number four, just because I kind of think they're boring. And Michael Graves at number five or at number zero, if I can do an embedded, which I really want to do, which probably isn't going to happen. I would love to
You
do that
never
at my
know,
show,
it
but
could.
incognito. I've got like a fake mustache
Yes.
on. I'm like, oh yeah. I've got like a fake MAGA hat on. I'm like, oh, I love Michael Graves. He's great. He definitely was not at the January 6th insurrection. Michael, let's hear what you have to say. Anyways, Michael Graves. Actually, you know what? Don't pay to see Michael Graves. See if you can sneak in. You know, don't give him any money.
Oh my God, yeah, you
So
need to like
yeah.
style the fake mustache. Like, yes.
Hello, fellow young person. I am also here to see Michael Graves. I'm 52 years old. Ah, yes, the folly of youth.
Twirls mustache.
Did you know, friend, that Michael Graves used to be in a band called The Misfits? Anyways, all right, let's not drag this out. M, you have to
Yes.
spend 24 hours
Okay.
with one of the following three people. You can't get
Ooh.
away. I mean, they're not going to do anything
You
like
can't
illegal
get
to you, but
away.
you have to spend 24 hours with them. Ween,
Okay.
Michael Graves, or Morrissey.
And Ween is the
That's
two
kind
of
of an easy
them.
one. Yeah, Ween is forget that. Ween is, you know, everyone loves Ween. Ween would be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
RM, you have to spend
Ween.
24 hours with either Michael Graves or Morrissey, but the kicker is they must
Okay.
answer any question you ask them truthfully.
Ooh, Morrissey.
I agree. I
I would
agree.
like to know.
All right,
Yes.
one more, and then we'll be able to show. This has been a super long episode. 24 hours, M, with
Okay.
Michael Graves or Morrissey, but they're going to rant at you, like not yell at you, but like, you know, talk about whatever they're into for most of the time. You're on like a
Okay.
tour bus and they're sitting next to you. Who do you pick?
Ooh. I would pick Morrissey because I feel like you could sidetrack him more easily into
I
talking
agree.
about something different.
Like Michael Graves is going to talk about MAGA shit or how he's a chauvinist or whatever, and Morrissey may talk about like the New York Dolls or something.
Yeah, that reminds me of a
Well, and
story when I was on tour.
our very last one, Em. Anyone in the
Okay.
universe alive, you can ask them
Oh.
any question and they have to answer truthfully for 1 hour. Who do you pick?
Oh, that's tough. Ooh. Anyone on Earth? I need to think about this for a minute. Do you have an answer right away?
Let me think. Mick Jagger would be cool because there's so much I think is unknown about Mick. I mean, obviously I could say like someone political. I mean, I could make it a real downer, like, and go pick someone political, but I'm not going to because that'll be a bummer of an answer. So
Oh.
I'll say Glenn Danzig. Always Glenn Danzig. I want the for real deal info from Glenn Danzig. Me and Glenn, we sit down, we talk about what's really going on. Where's the Sam Hainry issues? How does he feel about the other guys? How does he feel about his career? How does he feel about his movies? And what weird conspiracy theories does he have? Glenn Danzig, that's my answer, Em.
I think you'd have some wild ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is so tough. You know what? I
I'll
think. Sorry.
just because I'll give you my second answer, just because this person would be very interesting. Danny Miller would be very interesting to talk to for now and get real. But we could
That's
interview her.
true.
I'm not picking Danny Miller because we could interview her and basically do the same exact thing. She's not gonna like lie. You know what I mean? Like so I'm picking Danzig.
I think that's a good one. I think I would go with, maybe Steve Jones. Maybe Steve Jones.
Well, they have it.
Because,
I'm
like,
picking Steve Jones.
I feel
Oh,
like
go
he'd
ahead.
have a lot of stories. But, like, also Dick Lucas would be fun. Because
See,
everybody,
but for me,
like,
like
the thing is, every. Sorry?
you can just interview Dick Lucas. Dick Lucas will tell you
Yeah, that's
anything.
the
You can just
thing.
interview Dick Lucas. So I wouldn't waste my hour on Dick Lucas because I can just ask him anytime I want. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the thing. Everyone I'm thinking of would be like, oh, well, they wouldn't lie to you. Like, they'd have really interesting stories. Well, okay. M maybe like Kathleen Hanna, because she's very hard to get an interview with. Because, like, she
Yes,
would have really interesting stories.
And I feel
Yeah.
Kathleen Hanna holds some stuff back. I think Kathleen Hanna is a great answer. Another great answer, and then we'll wrap this up. Joan Jett, who really holds stuff
Ooh,
back, you know?
true. Yeah, that would be a really interesting interview.
So all we have to do is get some truth serum and go around kidnapping people, Em. So there you go. And
Yes.
when are we gonna see the people again?
We're going to see them next week.